In August of 1941, the 20th Century opened on Madison Road in Oakley as a state-of-the-art movie house and was the first theater in Cincinnati to offer air conditioning. In the 75 years of its existence, the 20th Century has been a staple of the Oakley neighborhood and currently stands as a venue for special events and live concerts. Here to tell me more about the theater, its history, and the upcoming 75th anniversary celebration is Mark Rogers, owner of the 20th Century. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having us.
Let me have a little bit of history, if I could, to start. Tell me how the 20th Century came to be to begin with.
Well, it opened up, as you said, in August of 1941, as was the first air-conditioned theater in the city, and it was a state-of-the-art theater. The other real important part about the structure of it is it was one of the first fireproof theaters ever built in the city or anywhere. It's all steel, concrete, even the interior non-load-bearing walls are made of plaster block. The ceiling is a steel superstructure with concrete plaster hung on metal lath and that. So you couldn't burn it down if you tried.
Which immediately makes me want to ask, now that you host live music events, does that make it a challenge?
No. As a matter of fact, what's really great about the theater is it was designed for sound. At the time that it opened up, sound was becoming a more and more of a important part of the movie experience, and they really didn't have the equipment to be able to present it the way that they do today. So they needed to create a room that would be able to carry the sound waves back from the front to the back very cleanly. So all the scallops in the walls and the ceiling and everything that represents that Art Moderne architecture is really primarily for sound.
And how long did the 20th Century last as a film theater?
Well, it started to fade in the late 70s with the advent of the multiplexes and that. And then what really killed it in the early 80s was when the multiplexes started going to the discount movies. So it went from first-run films and being a real serious show place down to the second runs and down to art films and finally a little stint with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then in 1983, they just locked the doors, walked out, and that was the end of it.
Was competing with the Oakley Drive-In at the time a challenge?
Not at all. The drive-ins really never competed with the theaters on that. It was the multiplexes, that 19-screen theaters, that killed the single-screen locations.
And so the building remained, I guess, empty for a short period of time, and then you stepped in.
Well, no, it's not that simple. It's a little sillier than that, because at the time, the Oakley Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation was alive and well and abusing Oakley. And they had just completed a project which gave them a lot of money, and they had bought the 20th Century with the express intent of tearing it down. There's always developers in the background with lots of potential earnings that affect these situations, and that was what we had there. So I joined the board in 1983, along with a gentleman named Wayne Perrin, who was fundamental in helping stop these people from their mission to tear it down. That battle lasted until 1990, when we finally recruited enough people onto the board to get a certain level of sanity with the approach to the building. And by the grace of God, the moment later, Mike Belmont walked into the room and wanted to buy the building and turned it into a carpet store, which was interesting and now is a very successful full-service design center located in the bank building, an excellent company in that, and they saved the building. That also put it on the National Register of Historic Places, so Oakley will always be indebted to Mike Belmont for that. Then a church moved in after they had moved out, and I simply came back in 1996 to throw a party for the volunteers that had worked so hard to save the building. And during that process, we found out that the church was moving out, and we were going to have a vacant property. So I talked with Mike and took over at that point, and then fumbled my way into weddings, and that's what makes the economic model work now.
My wife and I lived in Oakley for a short period of time, and it was great to be able to walk up along the sidewalk, and you could visit the 20th Century. You could visit places like Habits, Animations, and other places that are now staples of the neighborhood. What were the first challenges you faced when you said, I want to start doing not only weddings, but live concert events in the 20th Century?
Well, we started with doing all club stuff. We were right on the forefront of doing big band music and swing music, and we were thinking that that was going to draw us more of a mature crowd that would want to spend some money, and what we ended up with was all the kids that were coming out for a good workout doing the swing dancing and really, quite frankly, didn't appreciate the music at all. They just wanted a good workout and free water. So we then morphed into salsa music, and we were quite big in that and did real well with it. And then we ended up doing our first dinner event, which was the Addy Awards, where we did dinner for 300 people, and a light went off. It's like, okay, that's the business to be in. We, you know, were home at midnight instead of the normal 4 in the morning, and had made money, and it worked out quite well. And we then changed our whole approach to the business and went strictly for the food service angle of it, and ended up getting involved in weddings, and now that's the primary business that drives the economics of it, and then we fill it in with whatever else comes up, concerts and all that. So it's really the best of both worlds now. We have the stability of the weddings, and we have an incredible group of promoters that do some really great shows there, and it works out quite smooth.
The 20th Century has a concert venue, and looking at some of the names that you've had performing there, I'm looking at names like Amy Mann, Jorma Kaukonen, Loudon Wainwright, Colin Hay, Richard Thompson. Are there any stories that stand out in your mind of things that happened?
Just a few thousand. We've had some really great people that have been through there. We had Branford Marsalis, who, when he came in, was simply going to, his contract was, we're going to walk in the door, go straight on stage, immediately afterwards, transportation back to the hotel. And I thought, well, that's going to be a bum time. But he ended up walking in, seeing the VIP room, which is the green room for him, and started playing pool and hanging out. And and then after the show, we had a chef fix him up some real nice food. I had a masseuse, and he did a couple of interviews and hung out for a couple hours after the show, and really was quite a gentleman. One of the coolest people I met there was Joe Sample, who is a keyboard player and absolutely amazing. He came in and was sitting in the VIP room with just his manager in that, and he asked for a towel. I'm like, sure, we can get you a towel. And so we got him a towel, and he puts it out on the bar and just starts pretending like he's playing the piano. I'm like, okay. And then he looks over at his manager and says, I think I could use a scotch now. And I'm like, well, hey, I've got a very nice special bottle in my office. May I bring it in and join you? So I joined him, and we ended up spending about a half an hour talking about everything going on with him and the show and the whole bit, and had quite a time of it.
And now the 20th Century Theater is turning 75. Can you tell me a little bit about the events you have scheduled for the celebration?
Well, we have a really great lineup of music with Dixie Crass playing some classic jazz in that, and then we've got the Cincy Brass going to be playing after them. I love seeing that because it's really starting to introduce jazz to the younger audience. You know, you're getting millennials out into it, and I think that, you know, God help us, we might actually be moving past that hip-hop phase and back into real music, you know?
Because you're in Oakley, because you're across the street from Habits and near Animations, I've heard lots of stories about hauntings and ghost sightings. Is there anything like that going on in the 20th Century?
We've heard some great stories and had some experiences. There was a gentleman who was an usher there, and he currently works at another store in Oakley, but he was an usher there as a teenager and was up in the projection booth one night with his buddy, who was the projectionist, and quite frankly, they were screwing around and being pretty disrespectful and drinking and partying and that, and they missed a couple of cues where they were supposed to change the reels, and apparently pissed off the ghost a little bit, who then popped the locks on the film reels that came off of it, and all of this highly flammable acetate film rolled all over the room and that. And they had, at that time, of course, they had carbon arc projectors in there, so you have this major heat source, and about burned them up. They didn't get that shut down right away. They could have had a real situation. That was his last time in the projection booth. And we had one current experience was with the tour manager, who was there with a band and was heading up the back steps to the VIP room. Or actually, he was coming down the back steps, and he said there was a man walking up the steps, and he stopped to see where he was going and that, and the guy walked right through him and onto it, and he came to me quite shocked and wondering whether or not it was haunted. And I said, well, I guess so.
Great stories. Well, I've been speaking with Mark Rogers, owner of the 20th Century Theater in Oakley. For links to more information about the theater and the upcoming 75th anniversary Jazz and Jam celebration, please visit wvxu.org. www.oklahoma.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jim Knoll. We'll be right back.